This morning, we are catching up with the Senior Vice President of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. Hello, Abdu Murray. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I hope you're well as well.
Oh, fantastic, Abdu. Firstly, may I say condolences on the loss of Ravi last week. Such a gentleman, such a scholar. It's a loss for us, but it's his gain, I guess.
Indeed it is, and so the rejoicing is always sort of bitter and sweet at the same time. We rejoice for Ravi, but we mourn for ourselves. I actually still have a hard time believing that I'm not going to hear his voice again this side of heaven share exactly how you put it, that gentlemanly scholarship that he is so well known for. He could speak very serious truths with a sober-mindedness, with a gentlemanliness that won over skeptic and believer alike.
Yeah, brilliant fellow. And I guess one of the last projects he worked on was this co-authorship of the book that you guys have released, Seeing Jesus from the East.
Yes, that was actually this is interesting because the idea was originally Nabil Qureshi's, and Nabil was a former colleague of both mine and Ravi's. Nabil famously wrote his best-selling book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. Nabil having a Pakistani heritage and also a Muslim background. He approached Ravi a couple of years ago asking if he could do a book project with Ravi about recapturing that Easternness of Jesus. And Ravi wanted to do the project because of Ravi's own Eastern roots. But Nabil passed away before he could put pen to paper. And so Ravi called me and said, "With Abdu, with your Lebanese background, and you as a former Muslim as well, it makes sense for you to take up the charge on this one. Would you write the book with me?" And of course, it was an honor to continue the idea that both Ravi and Nabil had. And the book is dedicated to Nabil. But interestingly enough, now we see that the book is equally dedicatable to both Ravi and Nabil's memories. And they are throughout the entire book. You can see evidence of their spirit, not only in Ravi's words, but also in the chapters that I wrote. You can see Nabil's heart as well as Ravi's throughout the entire book.
Now, this is going to be an interesting book, especially for, let's say secular Westerners to be able to interpret scripture and the Bible as it's meant to be interpreted. Like whenever we interpret the Bible, we have to first of all ask, who was the intended audience? So straight away, okay, we think 2,000 years ago, but we're also thinking 2,000 years ago or further, if you're talking Old Testament, we're talking Middle East. And that's not a cultural mindset that springs to mind for most of us out here automatically. So this is a great tool for us to have a greater understanding of not only who it was written to, but how they interpreted it.
I think that's exactly right. And in fact, that's one of the main thrusts why writing the book was important to both Ravi and me as well, is I think you've hit something right on the head, is that oftentimes Western secular audiences, often misinterpret Jesus and therefore can even dismiss him because he seems either one, outmoded, or two, outdated, or three, which is even the worst one, I think, as well, is that he's been hijacked as a tool of sort of white Western imperialism. And so he gets dismissed that way, and he loses all sense of his authenticity. And so we can also take passages of the Bible and misinterpret them to say, oh, well, this phrase clearly offends our modern Western sensibilities, and Jesus was a misogynist, or he was, an ethnicist or a racist or whatever it might be. When you understand what Jesus is saying in the context, he was exactly the opposite. He was a champion for women. He was a champion of racial equality. He was a champion of the individual, but also a champion for collectivist tradition as well. So when you see Jesus in his proper context, you do two things. One, you recapture his authenticity. Two, you also get the gist of what he means. But there's a bonus thrown in, and this is the most important thing, I think, as well, is that we see just how relevant his message is for us today.
I always have a bit of a giggle when I, you think of Hollywood Jesus, you think of any movies, and not just Jesus. I mean, you go back to Charlton Heston playing Moses. All the depictions that we have on the screen of these biblical figures, they're always, Englishmen. They're all Americans. They're all white with, blonde hair, blue eyes. And it's only been in the last 20 years or so that filmmakers have gone, well, hang on, no, wait a minute. Jesus was a first century Jew, so maybe he didn't have blonde hair. So they've started started showing him on the screen closer to what he may have actually been like, but your book is all about revealing who he actually was in his cultural context.
And that is key. I do think that the visual representation of Jesus is becoming more and more faithful to the way he actually looked, which also, by the way, has the added benefit of taking a look at people who are either from the East or even other ethnic backgrounds, whether they're in the global South, whether it's in South Africa or sub-Saharan Africa or any part of Africa, for that matter, or South America, and taking a look and saying, he looks a lot like us. In other words, Jesus is for everybody. And sometimes a picture of Jesus that is not faithful to the darker olive-skinned, to the woolier hair he would have had, to the facial features he likely would have had as a Middle Easterner, it tends to be such that it excludes or does feed into the stereotype that Jesus is an icon of white imperialism. But really, when you take a look at him, especially in this cultural context, not just the visual depictions of who Jesus is, but the actual cultural context in which he spoke, and even the way he spoke, you'll get an inclusive picture of who Jesus is. In other words, he is the Messiah who comes to die for the sins of the world. There's an exclusive means of salvation, but it is an inclusive invitation. He is the world's Messiah, and he even looks the part as well. A smile crawls across my face. Even when I wasn't a Christian, by the way, and I would read the pages of the New Testament, I would think of the olive oil sort of dripping from each page. I would think of the spices and the cumins and the curries that would be used in the cooking. And so whenever Jesus is engaging in a mealtime conversation, and he uses these phrases that relatives of mine would use. And I'm like, my goodness, I can hear my cousins. I can hear my uncles. I can hear them all speaking in this. And so even when I wasn't a Christian, Jesus was attractive to me because he spoke my language.
Fantastic. And you're so right about here it is, Christianity seemed to blossom and bloom in Europe and then in Western cultures. And then missionaries have gone out to back to the Middle East or to Africa, to other countries. And it's been seen as the white man's religion. It's been seen as, you know, these capitalists are coming and they're trying to buy our citizens. They're going to the poor people and they're sharing this message. And really, all they want to do is take control. But that's not what it's about at all.
No, it really isn't. In fact, oftentimes the narrative stream goes in the exact opposite of what history really is. So as you pointed out, a lot of times what people will think is that Christianity is a white man's religion that is now used as an export from the West into the East, when the reality is you look at history, the Roman Empire was influenced positively and in tremendously positive ways by the olive-skinned religion of the East. It was the darker people who actually influenced the West for the better. For example, the idea of equality, it didn't even exist. It wasn't considered a laughable idea by our pagan pre-Christian ancestors. It was actually unintelligible. They never even had the concept of personal equality, whether it's race or status or whatever it might be. It was the Christian message that all human beings are equally made in God's image, but are also equally sinners and also equally offered redemption that started the whole idea of equality. It was the pagan emperor Julian who lamented the fact that the insipid Galileans, he called them, meaning the Christians, were winning over the hearts and minds of the populace of Rome because the Christians were actually not only helping those within their numbers, but also helping people of every race, every creed, and every culture, regardless of their beliefs, because they believed in the fundamental equality of all humanity. We sorely need this message and this example, not just message, but also actions birthed by the message today. So it's exactly the opposite. It's not the West that used Christianity to foist itself on the East. It's the East that blossomed into the ideas of equality and gender and all these wonderful things in the West. So the West has a very serious debt to Christianity for all the good that's come from that system of belief.
Fantastic. We've been chatting with Abdu Murray, who is the co-author of the new book, Seeing Jesus from the East. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.